Imagine the following tragic scenario. A couple provides their child with all of his material needs. The child has all of the food and clothing that he requires to be healthy and safe. Indeed, there is nothing important that the parents hold back except guidance. Let's say the child is a sixth grader who decides he is fed up with doing homework. His mother says nothing more than, "Fine with me." The child is in high school and decides he will work to make the honor roll. His father says, "Fine with me." The parents provide no value system and offer no norms of behavior. In his deepest recesses, the child concludes, "They couldn't care less about what I do." Let's talk about another family. In this family, the child is indeed provided with values and direction. She knows what her parents want and what they don't want. But these parents are lacking in one very important area. They never give any reinforcement of any kind. No praise, no criticism, no response at all. If this child comes home with straight A's, the parents only say, "So, I see you got straight A's." If she is sent home from school for bad behavior, her parents only say, "So, I see you were sent home for bad behavior." There is never a pat on the back or a word of chastisement. And like the fellow we spoke about before, in her deepest recesses, the child concludes, "They couldn't care less about what I do." How immeasurably fortunate we are that God is not a neglectful parent. He has given us guidance, contained in his Torah that he revealed to us. Although much is not spelled out explicitly, and we often turn to experts, God has provided the Jewish people with a framework of laws and values which facilitate good decision-making. God wants us to make those good decisions. Mutatis mutandis, he cares about what we do. And more. There is a system of hashkache pratis, individualized divine intervention in a person's life. The nature of the intervention is built on the nature of the person's fidelity to the Torah. And there is a system of reward and punishment. Although we are told to strive for the lofty level where we do what's right irrespective of the reward exists, whether in this world, the next world, or both. And there are unpleasant consequences for infractions. To be sure, God takes into account a person's circumstances when meting out a consequence. God takes into account nature, nurture, upbringing, education, the entire polyglot of factors that affect us. But negative consequences do exist. Mutatis mutandis, he shows us that he cares about what we do by responding to what we do. Of course, God has no needs. It therefore goes without saying that this system of commandments and responses is set up for our benefit. This system guides us along the path to the joy of closeness to God. And being that God is all good and all knowing, this system of commandments and responses is the path for a person to become the best that they can possibly be. To borrow a contemporary term, could one have a more expert, more caring personal trainer than God himself? Of course, accepting the direction of the divine personal trainer is not always easy. Except for God himself, the only place we find perfection is in the dictionary. We try and try, and with God's help, we have many, many successes. But flaws and foul-ups are inextricable parts of the human condition. Our jobs at that point are to avoid despair, to avoid denigration and devaluation of our personhood and our essence, and to repent, to do tshuva. Tshuva is an act of self-creation. It is the forging of a better identity, reshaping ourselves into something new and improved. It is the process by which we bring the actual self closer to the ideal self, as defined by the Torah. In physics, electrical resistance is defined as the degree to which a substance opposes an electric current going through it. For example, rubber compounds have very high resistance. They can be used for electrical insulation because electric currents do not pass through them. On the other hand, water's resistance is very low. Electric current very easily flows through water, which is why there's a tag on your portable hairdryer telling you to unplug it in between uses, lest it fall into a full bathtub. God has built into us what one might call spiritual resistance. It can be challenging to do the right thing. The non-holy and even the unholy can be very enticing. And repentance, self-recreation, requires effort. It isn't easy to overcome well-established bad habits and firmly entrenched base impulses. But then comes the month of Elul. After the debacle of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, ascended Mount Sinai to plea for divine mercy. Several weeks later, on the first day of the month of Elul, God became Nisratzeh, favorably disposed to the Jewish people. It was on that glorious day that God told Moshe Rabbeinu to make the second set of tablets. That first day of Elul was day one of a 40-day period of divine favor. Day 40 was the first Yom Kippur after the Exodus. On that day, God was Nisratzeh b'simcha uveratzon shalem. In other words, he was joyful and complete in his favorable disposition toward the Jews. What does that have to do with us, people who dwell in the 21st century of the Common Era? The answer is a very great deal. Although there is a mitzvah, a commandment to do tshuva, all months of the year, God established those 40 days, from the first of Elul until Yom Kippur, as a time of divine mercy and divine assistance for all time. Every year during those precious 40 days, there is a recapitulation of that divine benefaction and closeness. Every year during those 40 days, our spiritual resistance is diminished. It becomes easier to repent, easier to create a new identity. Letting go of maladaptive behaviors and attitudes is that much less of a challenge. That being said, it becomes clear that one ought not to fritter away the month of Elul. Imagine a fellow who makes his money for the year at an annual trade show. How foolish and tragic it would be if he decided to miss the trade show, to go fishing, or to sleep late. This attitude is crucial as we experience the month of Elul. It's truly a case of use it or lose it. May God help us to use it.